Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I am very, very excited and happy to be back here once again on the Dave's Gone By radio program, talking to a person who mixes music and Judaism and terribly offensive humor in a very interesting and delightful way. You know, they say that parody is the sincerest form of flattery. Besides getting sex you don't have to pay for. And so, I have on the show someone who spoofs and yet delights in the Jewish religion and culture. His name is Sean Altman, though he also goes under the moniker of Jewmungus when he does his special kind of Jewish humor and parody and funny stuff. Sean Altman is on the telephone with us all the way from New York, where he will be performing at Joe's Pub on December 24th, and a bunch of other places on the East Coast, spreading his joy and misery and wisdom. Sean, welcome to the neighborhood.
Rabbi, I'm so honored and so grateful for your invitation.
Well, it's a pleasure, I must say. And then, first of all, I have to ask, how does a nice Jewish boy get a first name like Sean?
You know, this is a question that I've asked my parents on every of my 42 birthdays. And neither of them has given me a satisfactory answer up to this point. The positive thing is that they're really, if you Google my name, I come up first, followed shortly after by a convicted Alaskan murderer named Sean Altman.
I knew him, actually, yes.
Okay. And I think there's also like a couple of high school kids in the Midwest who were like on sports teams.
So they're basically either... There are two options there. They wanted something unusual, or perhaps at one point you had a milkman named Sean. Well, the world will never know, will we? Now, Sean, can you explain to us, I mean, I know, but my audience is stupid, they don't know, what is Jewmungus?
Jewmungus is it's a comedy song concert, and it's my attempt through singing and songwriting to reconnect with my long-ignored Jewish roots. I was bar mitzvahed, but after that, I've neglected my faith tremendously, and I've felt some guilt about it.
Of course, you're Jewish. Of course, you felt guilt. Yeah.
But I've never felt spiritually connected, but I've always felt culturally connected, and this is my way to reaffirm my love for the tribe and to feel that I'm contributing something, you know, to the team without having to go to synagogue and pray to God.
Well, yeah, because that's really extraneous. That's the least important part of Judaism, is actually connecting to God. Yeah.
Yes, but you know, it is unusual that you know, Judaism is different than other religions in that one can feel culturally very Jewish and yet not spiritually connected or be completely secular. You would never find someone saying, you know, I'm culturally Catholic, but I don't believe, or I'm culturally a Christian Scientist, but I don't believe. Judaism, in that respect, it's more of like a sort of an ethnicity or a nationality or a club where you can have fun and enjoy some of the rituals and enjoy the achievements of your people and occasionally enjoy the food when it's good, which is usually, let's face it, is not, without having to, you know, to pray in or open a prayer book.
It's true. Most of us are Jewish because we don't want to disappoint our grandparents. That's pretty much it. It's like, oh, if they knew I was converting, if they knew I was an atheist, it would kill them. They're already dead, but it would kill them again. And so I might as well stay Jewish.
I 2 weeks ago, when I was performing Jewmungus in Jerusalem, and I told the audience, wow, if my grandparents, Max and Sally Unterman from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, if they could have known, had the foresight to think that their little cherubic grandson Sean would one day be performing his material in Jerusalem, they would have shepped such nachas, you know, obviously gotten a huge amount of pride. But then if they heard the material I was doing, not so much pride. Just stuff is a little bit it's not reverent, I'll put it that way.
No, it's certainly not. Which is, was there ever a point when you considered doing the because you were in a secular band, a very well-known band called Rockapella, which was acapella pop music. Was there ever a point of going, hey, maybe I'll do a Donald Lum with them, or no?
The closest we came, at one point, the incarnation of Rockapella was three Jewish guys and one non-Jewish guy. And ironically, the non-Jewish guy married a Jew, so his kids are Jewish.
There you go.
Now, you know, that was 25 years ago. The current incarnation of Rockapella has no Jews. And for all I know, you know, the next incarnation could be all, you know, Chinese people. Who knows?
That man would call themselves Lockapera, actually. That's a joke there.
We never referenced our Jewishness, even though it was, you know, obviously a big part of who we were culturally. That's the way I've sort of gone on through most of my career, which it's always been a big part of my personality, but I never referenced it in song until I started writing these Jewish-themed novelty songs.
Were you a class clown? Were you amusing as a child?
Yeah, you know, I was expelled from several third grade classes because of clownery.
Oh, there you go.
And
is there one incident you particularly remember or take pride in?
Yeah, I was impeached as vice president of my third grade class because the vice president's duty was to.
You said duty.
Vice president's duty was to sort of do the bidding of the class president. You know, we were 7 years old, but I felt compelled to basically taunt and make fun of the class president at every opportunity, and she circulated a petition, and I was impeached, and that stung, you know, because that was really my first sort of comedy audience, and they turned on me.
That's all my. Well, you got used to it, I'm sure, over the years, being in front of a crowd. So let us roll back to going into music as a career in a kind of serious way. I mean, of all things, here you are, it's whatever, the 1970s. There's the punk movement going on. There's disco going on, making tons of money in different ways. And yet, here you are, you're like, oh, you know what the world needs right now? People singing a cappella. How the hell? Whose idea?
You know, I went to college in the late 80s, and, you know, that's what you do at college. You either join a fraternity or you join a singing group. And we were...
That's if you're Jewish and you're not getting laid. That's what basically you do. Yeah.
I know it sounds strange, but actually we were, you know, my college group, we were considered, you know, sort of like campus celebrities.
Ooh.
And when we graduated, four of us ended up in New York, and we said, hey, you know, why stop doing it just for fun? So we basically just started doing it on street corners in New York just for the fun of it. And we were good enough that we started getting some attention from local television. And our big break was from Regis Philbin.
Regis! Oh, I'm sorry. I love Regis. Can we both sing the name Regis together just because he's Regis and we love him? Regis! Okay, continue.
So he had us on three times in the late 80s, early 90s, and it gave us a lot of, you know, it gave us a lot of regional exposure, and from that we pretty much got our big break, which was on a PBS documentary hosted by Spike Lee called Spike and Company Do It Acapella. And
yeah, because I can certainly see Spike Lee being enamored of white barbershop quartets of the 1950s. Guys in crew cuts, you know, burning crosses on lawns. Yeah, I'm sure he loved that.
You joke about that, but I actually believe that we were cast on that show because we were the white group, because we were the only white group.
I figured as much.
So we were sort of like an affirmative action case.
Spike Lee always has some tokenism. If you saw Mo Better Blues, he made sure to have some Jews in there. They were greedy and evil, but, you know, no. And then, what was that other one, the bank robbery one, where the Jewish, nice old Jewish man was one of the criminals? Spike always manages to throw a couple of Jews in everything he does. Nice man.
And they're never particularly nice characters, are they?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, please continue.
So after that show, that, you know, there were some sort of celebrity acts on that bill. Spike Lee and the Grammy-winning group Take Six was on it, and Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who had just sung on Paul Simon's record. So we were in good company. And shortly after that show aired, we got a call from the producers of a fledgling PBS kids game show called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, asking us if we'd like to audition for the role of the house band. And we thought, okay, we have nothing else going on, so why not do it? We never fancied ourselves a family act at all. But we got the gig, and we were on the show for 5 years.
So you didn't just do one song for Carmen Sandiego. You did basically all their music for a long time.
We did everything. We were, we did comedic acting, and we wrote all the music. And the theme song, which I co-wrote, is still the only song of mine that continues to pay the rent somewhat. Hey, this is Sean Altman from Jumungus, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By. We had a parallel career in Japan where we were releasing contemporary pop albums, so we had a very good run. So I was in Rockapella for 11 years before I decided to go solo.
Why did you choose to leave? Was it because the other Jews had left at that point and you felt alone, or what?
There were actually still two Jews left in the group when I left. Even though that's a very good theory, and I wish that were true.
It's not true.
No, I really wanted to spread my wings and start doing sort of edgier material. And Rockapella's squeaky clean, happy family image didn't really allow for that. So I thought, okay, I was in my late 20s at the time. This is like my only opportunity to really make an impression with my own songs. And so I left, and I focused on making them solo albums for several years.
So, but you did them, we're talking still before Jumungus. This is as Sean Altman,
yes.
Right? Yeah, okay.
It was in the context of those shows, which were mostly sort of, my stuff was always kind of funny, quirky. But then I wrote a song called Taller Than Jesus, which alluded to John Lennon's famous claim that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. And I wrote a song that in theory was a defense of John Lennon's statement, claiming that, in fact, he wasn't saying the Beatles were more important than Jesus. Simply stating a scientific fact that they were physically larger than Jesus. So I wrote this song, and I started performing it at the end of my Sean Altman shows, and it got such a good response. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I think laughter, getting laughs on stage, is kind of addictive. And I think I'll try my hand at a few more of these.
Oh, I do that every Yom Kippur. I start with a joke. I roll into the whole aristocrats routine. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But and Taller Than Jesus is that very first Jumungus-y type song. And actually, it has been scientifically proved since then that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus in other ways, too. It was they'd done that. It had to do with DNA, but they figured it out. Go figure. We're talking with Sean Altman of previous Rockapella fame and of doing his own albums as Sean Altman. And then, aha! Discovering with one little tune that he could do Jewish spoofy, I was calling them parodies, but actually the music is original usually. So what was the second song that you did after Taller Than Jesus?
It was a song I did with my first Jewish themed comedy act. It was called Hanukkah with Monica. And I don't perform it anymore because, given that it was about the Monica Lewinsky scandal, it's obviously quite dated. But in its moment, it got international press. It got written up in a couple of papers in Israel, and it got a lot of play in the U.S., particularly on sort of morning radio stuff.
Well, I hate to do this to you, but since we are approaching Hanukkah in just a week or so, can you sing us maybe one verse of it so we know what it was?
Yeah, you could play some of the recording too, but I can send you the recording, but I'll sing a little bit now. It was like, the underwear she wore was so erotica, Monica, she liked to serve cause she was patriotica, Monica, and the basic, it went on like that. It was
right.
This shtick of the lowest order.
Was it hard to find the rhyme for splooge?
Catchy.
I don't know what that means. It was on from there. Like every few weeks or so, you would come up with another song to put in the more comedy-ish act, right?
Yeah, and gradually I found that I had enough material for an album. And then I started performing the stuff live. Lo and behold, the Jewish novelty song stuff started getting tremendously more attention than my achingly beautiful love ballads that I had previously been performing. So, You got to go where the attention is.
And is that still the case today? Because you're also in another band called Groove Barbers, am I correct? So how are they doing?
Groove Barbers, it's three of the original Rockapella guys. And we do about maybe a dozen gigs a year just for fun. And but I've always been a little bit scattered career-wise, and it's because I really like to do a lot of different things. I like to sing a cappella. I like to write pop songs. I like to tell jokes. I like to write essays. I like to produce other people's records. And that's why I'm a jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Well, you know what? There's something to be said for that, except when you have a wife and children who have to be fed and clothed and occasionally chained in the basement. So are you able, what is your living consist of, or is it just royalties from Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, how I wish those royalties were as impressive as you.
I'm just wondering.
Occasionally that song makes me money. Strangely, I've made the most money from that song when someone has used it without permission. Like NBC used it without permission, and I got a nice settlement from them. Fox News used it without permission. I got a nice settlement from them. Whenever people use it illegally, that's when I seem to get paid.
So wait, do you have a lawyer that you give a ringy-ding to, or the other Rockapella people just keep an eye? How do you find out?
Well, I'm the only guy in Rockapella who co-wrote the song.
Right.
Well, I find out just, you know, through my network of friends and fans. They're like, hey, Glenn Beck's using the Carmen Sandiego song. Did you let him do that? You know, or hey, Matt Lauer's using the Carmen Sandiego theme song. Did you let him do that?
And then you, a typical Jew, you have a lawyer friend or someone in the family, and boom.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it goes.
Like, good for
my,
you.
My Jewish lawyer friend, I'm like, is there money to be made from this from this indiscretion?
Well, aren't they allowed to use up
to... I make some money from that, but mostly I do a lot of different kinds of gigs. You know, I sing on commercials occasionally. You know, a year and a half ago I did three commercials for Wendy's hamburgers, including several for their bacon cheese.
You know,
it's ironic.
Those are only slightly kosher, you know. But actually, I want to backtrack just one quick moment, because I'm always curious about this. Don't they have the right to use like 27 seconds of your song? And then if it goes over 30 seconds, that's when you're entitled to money, or it doesn't work like that?
No, I don't know how it works in radio, but on television, they can't use anything unless it's part of a news story. Like if it is a piece of the news story, like if the song itself was the news, then they could do it. But you can't just this is how songwriters make money. They license their material.
Sure.
To shows. So.
No, but I thought there was a certain amount of seconds that you could. But it's not on TV anyway.
No, not at all.
Oh,
not on TV, not in movies, not on Broadway. Radio, there might be sort of different limitations.
Radio is the Wild West. I'll play entire albums. You know, I'll put on the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper. I don't know anybody a dime. Maybe I do. I don't care. I got nothing. Beatles want to come after me. That's great. You know, let them take me to court so I can meet Paul McCartney. It would make my day. All right. Anywho, we're talking with, who the hell are we? We're talking with Sean Altman, a.k.a. Jewmungus, here on Dave's Gone By. Do you have any comedic influences in doing your, because you mentioned Hanukkah with Monica. Of course, there was a Tom Lehrer song called Hanukkah in Santa Monica, which I don't know if you know about. Was he an influence, Alan Sherman, or none of those kinds of people?
You know, one of my first jobs was as a busboy in the Catskill Mountains, a little bit after its heyday, but every night I ran the spotlight for three summers in a row for comedians, and I loved it. I loved the sort of Borscht Belt humor. My dad is a prolific joke teller.
Oh, good.
As many Jewish dads are, and it's always been a big part of my personality. I mean, with Jewmungus, my goal was not to be cute and not to be Alan Sherman cute. It was more to be edgy and outlandish, and to, you know, to occasionally make a point, like skewer grotesque stereotypes of Jews or skewer anti-Semitism. My influences are probably more contemporary than like that of my dad's. Like, even though I'm a fan of Woody Allen and Mel Brooks, I don't consider them influences as much as, well, Jon Stewart or Sacha Baron Cohen or
Sarah Silverman, perhaps.
Silverman, I'm a huge fan of hers. I like crossing the line or dancing on the line.
Gee, you would never tell from your album Taller Than Jesus. Just teasing. It is a hilarious, wonderful album, but do you get flack? I mean, even because you are dancing on that line, do you get especially Jews wagging their finger at you saying, oh, what will the Goyim think about us if you make jokes like this?
Yeah, like, I have a song that makes fun of the blood libel, you know, the ancient accusation that Jews drink the blood of Christian babies. And to me, it's an incredibly effective song because it pokes fun and it skewers the blood libel. It shows how preposterous it is. You know, the fact that, oh, if indeed we drink Christian baby blood, then of course we would have like an Irish drinking song about the joys of drinking Christian baby blood. But occasionally someone does come up to me and say, you know, this song, you can't sing this song in public. You'll get in trouble with Catholics. You'll get in trouble with Jews who think that you're, that people will believe you when you say we drink the blood of Christian babies. I'm like, come on. I'm singing with a funny Irish accent about the joys of drinking Christian baby blood with Irish musicians behind me. It's obvious that I'm skewering this absurd accusation.
I do have to say, I would drink it if Snapple would bottle it. But they just, I begged, I've asked, I've sent them samples, but they yeah. just won't go there. I don't know.
I like to say, you know, who knew that we were supposed to drink the blood of Christian babies? I plainly missed that day in Hebrew school when they gave us that lesson.
I know. And it's funny that this is a libel from people who believe that their Savior turned himself into a cracker.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
Every Sunday they're eating this guy, they're drinking his blood through, and we're supposed to be the blood drinkers. I just don't understand this.
That's good. And in another song of mine, I have a song called Blame of the Jews, which purports to expose the ancient papal roots of anti-Semitism. In the song I claim that Italian Pope Antisemiticus, he invented anti-Semitism with a simple pop song that goes like this. You know, and then he sings about a song about how convenient it is to blame the Jews for everything that's wrong with in your life, whether you stub your toe or your dick is too short, or
I know the feeling on both accounts. Yes.
So I got occasionally, and in the video for that, you know, I'm dressed as the Pope. So I've gotten a few negative comments on YouTube, to say the least.
Yes, I've read them.
For the most part, my audience is self-selecting. Who's going to go out of their way to listen to an act called Jewmongus that isn't, first of all, Jewish or Jew-friendly, and second of all, who, you know, you can tell from the title that it's not about Israeli folk dancing or anything reverent. You know, it's an act called Jewmongus. Of course, it's going to be a little bit over the top. So people rarely come to see me and are horrified or surprised by what they see.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Mel Gibson liked you on Facebook. Go figure. Who knew?
I'm looking forward to his new movie about Judah the Maccabee.
Oh, please, I don't even...
I mean, talk about... That is... It's like, literally, you can't make that up. It's too good, but that's apparently what he's doing.
I didn't know that Judah Maccabee stabbed two of his brothers and ate their fingers. Go figure. This is news to me, you know? Hey, we have a couple more minutes here with Sean Altman, a.k.a. Jewmongus, sharing his hilarious music and also his not-so-hilarious music as well. We've heard a little bit of that. Now, in your bio there, it noted that at one point you were married to a Shiksa, but you are no longer? Is that the story?
First of all, thanks for outing me on national radio. Second of all, yes, I was married to a Shiksa. And I do get a lot of mileage out of that in my show. I have a song called Just Too Jew For You, which refers to the perils of mixed relationships. But yes, I was married for 8 months to a Shiksa.
8 months?
I learned my lesson, and my current wife, the mother of my beautiful daughter is a beautiful Jewess, professional opera singer.
Jewess, I love that, Jewess. An opera singing Jewess, wow.
And we met on J-Date to boot.
No. Oh, that's hilarious. That's wonderful. So she approves of what you do, and you must approve of what... But how often are you able to see each other since you have careers that take you on the road? How do you raise a kid?
Well, I just got back from Israel with her, where she was singing with Israeli opera, doing the lead role in Pagliacci. And
she wait. She was doing the lead role in... What, are they cross-dressing Pagliacci now?
She was doing the role of Nedda in Pagliacci.
That was a little odd right there, yeah.
And I was doing, we were there together, and I booked 12 humongous gigs in Israel. So it worked out really well.
That's terrific. And how do they receive you in the Holy Land?
Very, very well. I was surprised because, first of all, I wasn't sure about whether the language barrier would be an impediment. But there's a huge English-speaking music-loving community there, and my gigs were very well attended. I mean, I was regularly performing for 100 or, up to 300 people at a time. And I got great reviews from the Jerusalem Post, and can't wait to go back.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. I think it's... That's the one thing about being Jewish, though. I was going to ask if you ever worry about running out of material, but that's really not possible, is it?
Well, not only is it likely, it's pretty much happened. I'm really struggling to come up with new ways to say some of the same things. My latest effort is a song called "The Chosen People," where ostensibly it's an undiscovered Neil Diamond song in which Neil tries to connect with his Jewish roots.
Yes.
Part about the song is that I'm doing a lousy Neil Diamond impression. The lyrics are, the lyrics are pretty funny. The gist of the song is that, okay, we're the chosen people. That means, we're chosen to be persecuted. We're chosen to wander in the desert for 40 years in search of the one spot that has no oil. if this is what it means to be the chosen people, you know what, God? Next time, choose somebody else.
Right, of course. That sounds very cute. And is it to an original melody or a Neil Diamond melody?
No, it's to my own melody. Yeah, I'm not too big on doing parodies. I like to write my own songs. Hey, this is Sean Altman from Jumungus, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
Do you also write comedy songs that aren't on a Jewish-y theme?
Yeah, I have. I have a song called "I Can't Stand Garrison Keillor," and I have a song called "Too Old, Too Ugly," which is about what apparently one of the record executives said about Rockapella, like why he wouldn't sign them. He said, "Yeah, they're too old and too ugly."
Well, he was looking for a boy band, or let's be honest, he was looking for a goy band, if you know what I'm saying.
And then I have a song that I do in Jumungus, but it's not particularly Jewish, and it's like a jazz ballad called "Another Inch," which is basically just about every man's longing that he had one more inch. That's all you need is just one more inch.
Well,
pay no attention to that.
Pay no attention to the ringing in the background. That is the sales ringing up for the CDs of our guest in the neighborhood, Sean Altman. If you want to hear his rockapella music, if you want to hear his groove barbers music, his solo, are all these things still sort of available, or do you have to just get them on eBay and things like that?
No, everything's on iTunes.
Wonderful. Everything is on iTunes, and you get some money from that if people buy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Yep. I think I get 60 cents of the 99 cents per cut that you will.
that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. What was the record company thing many years ago where the big artists would get what, 25 cents on a $12 album? The paradigm has changed, my friend.
And if you made $10 million for the record company, they would buy you a car. They would buy you a car for like $5,000, and you would walk away happy.
Right, so now the artist gets to keep, so if you sell 10 copies, God willing, you'll make a few bucks. You can buy lunch.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yes.
So.
I encourage your audience to like me on Facebook and like Jumungus on Facebook and follow Sean Altman on Twitter, because that's how cutting edge I am.
Oh, you have a Twitter account. You tweet. This is exciting. Do you tweet comic things, or do you just tweet where you're going to be next?
You know, I'm trying to get better at the tweeting thing. It's usually me talking about my next performances, but occasionally something will strike me. I don't want to be one of those people who tweets about what he had for breakfast. Because let's face it, I have oatmeal every day for breakfast. Who wants to hear about that?
And I've heard you crumble bits of bacon into the oatmeal, which the great rabbi of Lodz just does not approve. But I approve. I approve of your music, I approve of your humor, and of your talent. Sean Altman, do you have any, what are your hopes for your career in the next 10 years? Just more eclecticism or other projects, other ideas?
I would love to turn Jumungus into something more than a live act. I think that there's sort of multimedia potential, maybe theatrical multimedia. Maybe there's a Broadway show in there.
Ooh.
Certainly think there's like a TV special in there. So that's my goal for Jumungus, and I'm also working on a couple of other Sean albums that are just my backlog of what I consider some of the finest pop music ever written. That does not use the word Jew in it, sadly, but it's still good songs. And my wife and I, she's an opera singer, we're working on a project called Doo Opera, which is the melding of opera and doo-wop.
Okay, I have to admit, that does sound really hot. That sounds like the worst thing since Auschwitz, quite honestly. But
if you check out DooOpera.com, you'll see an example of it, and I think you'll agree that it's very entertaining.
Doo Opera, all right.
Opera.com, yes.
It's DOOWOPERA.com, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's in that clip, it's my vocal group, the Groove Barbers, backing up my wife, Ina Dukacs, as she sings one of the most beloved soprano arias in the classical music canon, backed by a doo op group.
I can't wait. Well, everybody listening should wait until the show is over and then go listen to Doo Opera and also all the other wonderful material by my guest, Sean Altman. Go to SeanAltman.com. I assume you have that URL, right?
Go to SeanAltman.com. I think Jumungus.com is a little bit more on point for this interview.
Sure.
And it's also a little bit cleaner website. So, yeah, go to Jumungus.com.
Jumungus.com to enjoy the wonderful talents of our guest, Sean Altman. Sean, thank you so much for being with us in the neighborhood.
Thank you, Rabbi. By the way, this is the first time I've actually had a conversation with a rabbi since my bar mitzvah, and I'm again grateful that you had me on.